Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is your boy Lee with Lee and Keys Real Talk. I'm holding it down solo tonight, my homeboy Keys. You know, he had plans tonight, and I just wanted to get on the air and talk to everybody. You know, we haven't done a show in a while, so I just want to get up here and speak to the people. Hope everybody is having a good weekend. I know it's snowing outside out here in the Mile High City, but, you know, that comes with the territory living out here. A lot of stuff going on tonight. You got college football title games tonight. Alabama just pulled off a shocking win over Georgia after being down 14 points. Jalen Hurts came in for relief and scored the last 14 points. Actually, the last 21 points for Alabama. So, you know, congrats to Jalen Hurts, who's been on the bench all year watching Tua play. Clemson is about to play Pitt here in a little bit. Ohio State about to play Northwestern here in a little bit. And Oklahoma beat Texas today. So basically, top three teams, Alabama and Notre Dame are definitely in. We have to wait to see about Clemson and see who takes that fourth spot. Will it be Ohio State or will it be Oklahoma? Me personally, I'm hoping it's Ohio State because Oklahoma's defense is so bad. I think Alabama will win on a route. And I think Ohio State will probably get them a better game because they have better athletes on their team. And I think their defense will probably play – their defense will play better than Oklahoma. But, you know, normally I open the show with a shout-out or dedication. Tonight I want to shout-out Meek Mill, man. He released his a new album called Championships on last night or Thursday night. I really haven't had a chance to listen to it. Probably get into that one probably tonight. And definitely I'm going to get into Big Crits tonight also. But shout-out to Meek Mill for releasing his album. I did listen to one song. I listened to the song called When Free with Meek Mill featuring Rick Ross and Jay-Z. And I have to say, the Jay-Z verse up there has to be one of the top 10 verses in Jay-Z's career. That verse is so hot. He says so much. It's dope. If you haven't listened to it, it's called When Free. Meek Mill featuring Rick Ross and Jay-Z. It's a dope track, and it actually uses the old Biggie sample on What's Beef. It's a dope sample. It's a dope song. Meek Mill held his own. Jay-Z definitely was the highlight of the track. I think they could have left Rick Ross off, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, Meek Mill is on his label. He probably wanted Rick Ross to jump up there, you know. But I think he could have been left off. But let's go ahead and get into the talk tonight. I have to make sure I keep my phone lit up just in case we have any callers. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is Kareem Hunt. As everybody knows, video surfaced, Friday night, Kareem Hunt had an incident with a female in a hotel. There's numerous reports going around about this story. There are reports that, you know, this happened in February, that the Chiefs was aware of it. I know back in Cleveland they say they have been running the story basically since it happened. So if that's true, there's no way the Chiefs shouldn't have known about it, and there's no way the NFL shouldn't have known about it. When you watch the video, you see the young lady, Kareem is like escorting. I guess I look at it, you really don't know whether or not he escorted her out the room or she was approaching him. But there are reports that say he put her out of his hotel room because she was underage. And when you look at the video, she approaches him. She's angry. She's very upset. And she pushes him, and then she strikes him in the face. He gets pushed away. He gets pushed back towards the room. He comes back out. You can't get the audio, So the way he comes back out, only thing I can assume is she says something. So he comes back out, and he pushes his, and when he pushes his boy in the back, he end up, his boy bumped head with the girl. The girl fell down. She seemed a little woozy at the time. You know, her friend is starting to record, you know, what's going on. And one of the guys, that's what Kareem snatches the girl phone. And then the part that's really, that made Kareem look bad is when the girl is down, he goes and kicks her. And that part was very unnecessary on his behalf. He could have just let, better phrasing, he could let sleeping dogs lie and just walked away. But when he kicked her, I think that's the part that really looks bad on his behalf. I'm not going to harp on Ray Rice because everybody knows about the Ray Rice story. But the reason the Kansas City Chiefs are saying they released Kareem Hunt is because he lied to them about what happened. Once a video comes out, there is no lying. When the Ray Rice video came out, there was no lying. When the Kareem Hunt video came out, there's no lying. So Kareem should have just been straight up front with the Kansas City Chiefs when it first happened. But him, when the Joe Mixon video came out, there was no lying. So Kareem should have been more upfront with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he'll probably latch on to another team next year, probably at the beginning of training camp. He'll probably serve a suspension, and then he can resume his NFL career. A lot of people are trying to say Kansas City, you know, that they have a double standard because of what Tyreek Hill did to his girlfriend when he was in college. He allegedly, well, he actually pleaded guilty, so you can't say allegedly. Him and his girlfriend got in a fight. He held her down, choked her, punched her, and at the time, I want to say she was pregnant. Kareem Hunt was sentenced to 3 years probation. I mean, Tyreek Hill was sentenced to 3 years probation. He ended up having to go to anger management classes and do some other things. And, you know, he was able to, you know, join the NFL with a quote-unquote clean slate. And eventually he married a young lady. Other thing I want to say is, as a man, it's never cool to hit a girl. I don't care if you feel like you provoke. If they say something crazy to you, they slap you, you know, whatever. If you ever hit a female, regardless of the situation, you are the one that's going to be looked at in a bad light because we are looked at as the dominant sex. So, fellas, listen. Do not put your hands on the feet. Do not put your hands on the feet. And that's all I'm going to say about that. On the Kareem Hunt thing. Hey, Kareem, man, hope you get everything worked out, figured out, and hopefully we'll see you on the football field next year. But I do want to say one more thing, and this is probably the last political thing I'll say until I get to one of my topics later. The NFL will give these guys that commit domestic violence second and third chances. Because he decided to do a silent protest during the national anthem. And I guess doing a silent protest is worse than putting your hands on the feet. And that's all I'll say about that. Tonight, we got a UFC fight night. We got Dos Santos versus Tuivasa. We got Shogun versus Pedro, and we got Mark Hunt in his last fight going against Willis. I'm going to give you some quick predictions on those fights. I'm going with the new guy. I'm going with Tuivasa, even though I feel like Dos Santos has experience over him. You know, Dos Santos has been a champ. You know, he's fought a lot of top guys. But if you've been listening to our show, you know your boy Lee has been all about new blood this year. So I'm going with the up-and-comer guy, going with Tuivasa to beat Dos Santos. Normally heavyweight fights, normally, you know, they're normally won by TKO or knockout, rarely by submission. But, you know, Dos Santos does have a lot in his toolbox, but I'm going with Tuivasa on this one. In the co-main event, we got Shogun Hua versus Tyler Pedro. I think Shogun Hua is better days out behind him. So I'm going with the youngest upcoming fighter, Tyler Pedro. I think he pulls it out tonight. I think he takes over between the second and about the middle of the second round. And the youth and the energy will wear down Shogun, and I think Pedro wins this fight. In the last fight, you know, we got Mark Hunt going against Willis. There's been a lot of smack talk going between these two guys this past week leading up to the fight. Everything in me wants to pick Willis because he's a up-and-coming new guy. But I think Mark Hunt is going to put it all out there on the line tonight. I think he's going to throw a lot of bombs. I don't know whether or not Willis has a chance. So for that reason, I'm going with Mark Hunt in his last fight to win and pull it off tonight. Mark Hunt. Last night we had Kamaru Usman versus Rafael Dos Anjos in the main event of the Ultimate Fighter finale. Okay, for those that don't know, Rafael Dos Anjos used to be the champion at 155. He moved up to 170, and, you know, he came in 170. You know, he beat Robbie Lawler. I think he beat a couple other guys. And then he lost to Colby Covington and for the interim belt, which should have never been for the interim belt. And now he just lost to Usman. In that fight, Usman showed that he was the bigger fighter. I think my man RDA might want to think about going back down to 155 because the guys at 170, they look a little big for him. And then when they get him down, you know, he has problems getting back to his feet. But at 155, he didn't have those problems. As far as Usman, he had a good performance last night. Actually, he had I want to say he won every round last night. You know, he fought his way out of a submission attempt, you know, by RDA. I think Usman is in line to fight the winner of the Tyron Woodley, Colby Covington fight. RDA, I really don't know what's next for him. Me personally, I'd rather see him go back down to 155, even though I think the reason he went up to 170 is because he was having problems making 155. I think his next fight probably should be, maybe Wonderboy Thompson, you know, because I think Lawler is tied up with Ben Askren. And I think Ponzinibbio, I think he should fight the loser of the Woodley Covington fight. So I would rather see RDA probably fight Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. And let's see what he can do. If he loses three, then maybe he'll have to listen to me and go back down to 155. As far as Usman, I really, really want to see him at a championship level. I want to see him, you know, get the winner of the Covington, the Colby Covington, Tyron Woodley fight. So let's see what happens. Let me see if we got any callers on the line. Oh, we all good. I'm going to slow down a little bit. Let me take a sip of my water real quick. So, tonight is a big boxer match. We got Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury once was a championship fighter, getting suspended, you know, for cocaine. And, you know, he said he was depressed and stuff like that. Deontay Wilder was actually supposed to have been scheduled to fight Joshua, Anthony Joshua. But Anthony Joshua said that Wilder really wasn't serious about negotiations, and he felt that Wilder shouldn't get 50% of the pot, and Wilder should take the less money. But my thing was, Wilder, why should Wilder take less money, and he's coming to fight you in your hometown? And plus, he does have a belt. It's not like he's just a mandatory challenger. So, I kind of like the way Deontay is going about his business as far as having competitive fights. And I think Fury is going to actually be, probably his toughest opponent to date, because when you watch Wilder fight, sometimes he gets a little wild with his punches, and his punches become a little loopy. So, he throws wild punches. Wilder, he's a good fighter now. I'm not taking anything from him. My prediction is I'm going with Fury, because I think Fury will exploit some of the stuff that, some of the weaknesses in Wilder's game. And I don't know whether or not Wilder has worked on those weaknesses to make sure that he doesn't get caught, or that his opponents can exploit those weaknesses. So I'm going with Fury and a hard-fought fight. I think it's going to be probably one of the best fights of the year. So I'm going with Fury to upset Deontay Wilder, and I think Fury would then demand a fight against Anthony Joshua. So I'm going with Fury. I wouldn't be surprised if Deontay wins, but at the same time, I just don't like boxing anymore. I think boxing has definitely become one of my least favorite sports. If you follow me on Twitter, that's at LEVANSTIN 757, you'll see that I always would take UFC over boxing. And as a kid, I really loved boxing. I used to box myself. Well, I can say I never had a fight, but I used to go train. We had a gym in my neighborhood where you can go punch the bag, they will show you how to punch, what to do in the ring, stuff like that. Boxing back then, you had the best fighters fighting the best fighters. You had Sugar Ray versus Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray versus Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray versus Roberto Duran. You had Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman. You had Pernell Whitaker versus Julio Cesar Chavez. You had Evander Holyfield versus Buster Douglas, George Foreman, Mike Tyson. You had Tyson dominating the whole heavyweight division, but he was fighting all the number one contenders. But now, these guys, they don't even fight each other. They pick and choose who they want to fight. Some of these guys, they'll give a belt up instead of fighting a guy. Case in point, the welterweight division. Terrence Crawford moved up and joined the welterweight division. Nobody in the welterweight division wants to fight him. Errol Spence, he's supposed to be the man. Errol Spence is fighting Mikey Garcia, who has to come up two weight classes to fight Errol Spence. When Errol Spence has Terrence Crawford in his division, Keith Thurman in his division, Sean Porter in his division, Manny Pacquiao in his division, Adrian Broner in his division. It's like, why are you fighting a guy that got to come up two weight classes instead of fighting guys that's already in your weight class? I blame Floyd Mayweather for this. Floyd was a great businessman. You can take nothing away from Floyd as far as business. But Floyd pick and chose who he want to fight. So all the fighters behind him, they do the same thing. They feel like they had that cachet to pick and fight, to pick and choose who they fight, when they fight, and you know. And then now you got HBO, you got the fighters having contracts with HBO, fighters having contracts with Showtime, fighters fighting with ESPN now. So it's like if a guy fights on another channel, then they feel like they got to jump through hoops to make the fight happen and, you know, stuff like that. My thing is if you really want to make a fight happen, a fight can happen. All it takes is your promoter and the other promoter to get together, put their hands together, and make things happen. I think these guys now are so worried about their brands that boxing has become second nature. Boxing used to be, I remember when I was growing up, it wasn't nothing to see a fight on Saturday on ABC on the World Wide Sports, you know, for free. You know, now all the big fights, you know, they're on pay-per-view. You know, yeah, you have guys fighting on HBO or Showtime, but they fighting lesser opponents. I mean, why would I want to see that? Where's the UFC? Dana White has top guys fighting top guys, top girls fighting top girls, you know, and that's what people want to see. They want to see quality competition, top guys and girls fighting each other, and, you know, in the spirit of competition. Whereas boxing, you don't get that. It's very seldom that you get two quality guys to fight each other at any given time. So just like with top rank promotions, you know, they only try to have their boxers fight top rank guys. What's wrong with having them guys fight, you know, guys on the Team Mayweather or under other promotions? You can't have all the good fighters are never under the same promotion. So it's a boxing pick. And this was another thing. You had a WBO, the WBC, WBA, the IBF, the NABC or something like that. Why are there so many belts? Why are there so many belts? Why can't you just make one federation? You combine one federation. You combine the WBA, WBO, WBC, and IBF into one. You come up with a ranking system, and the guys fight according to their ranking. The UFC got one belt. They got one belt. So when they say undisputed champion, it's definitely the undisputed champion. Boxing, you got the county champ, the city champ, the statewide champ. So that's why boxing is, that's why the UFC is better, because the UFC make the guys, hot guys fight each other. You know, they make the fights the people want to see. And boxing doesn't. Boxing could care less what me and you, the average fan, wants to see. Mayweather always says, I'm going to give the people the fights they want. We wanted you to fight Pacquiao 5, 6, 7 years ago. I wanted you to fight Vernon Forrest before he died. No. So, you know, to those people that like boxing, you know, that's your thing. It's not mine no more. You know, I could really care less about boxing. I am a fan of Terrence Crawford. I really like the guy. I wish him continued success. I hope some of these guys will stop running from him and get him the fights that he wanted when he moved up to welterweight. And we'll see what happens with boxing. UFC. UFC is better than boxing. Hands down, there is no debate. There is no question. There is no anything you can try to put in the advantage box of boxing, I can put an advantage box of UFC and I can explain why. Okay, so Donald Cerrone was moving back down to 155 to fight Conor McGregor. But over the past 2 days, a lot of stories have been circulating about Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone. I fought with Cowboy Cerrone. Okay. Cowboy Cerrone is, the UFC is planning on having Cowboy fight Anthony Pettis at 155. You might not remember that these two fought before, and Anthony Pettis beat Cowboy Cerrone. So, Cerrone is going back down to 155. I kind of like this fight for him. You know, it's a familiar opponent. Showtime will bring the fight to him. Showtime actually has been looking a lot better and a lot more competitive in his last couple fights. So, you know, I don't mind Cowboy versus Showtime. I think that'll be a good fight. I think it'll be an action-packed fight. Now, to the guy everybody loves to hate, Conor McGregor. Everybody thought Conor McGregor would be fighting Cowboy Cerrone. Earlier this week, or later in the past week, word on the street is the UFC is trying to set up Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. I think Poirier can stand the thing. I think Poirier can do a lot of things on the mat. I think Poirier is a quality opponent. Poirier actually missed his, he had to pull out his last fight against Nate Diaz due to injury. But Poirier is a good guy. He's a hell of a fighter. And I don't know how he would deal with the media attention, because anytime you're fighting Conor McGregor, there will be a lot of media attention. And I think Conor would get him because of the striking. Because I think a lot of guys, when they get in there with Conor, you know, they want to stand and bang with him. They want to show their tough guy. Instead of doing what's smart. What's smart is making Conor fight off his back. As we have seen against Nate Diaz and also Khabib, he can't get off his back once you get him down. It's like he is resolved to just lay in there until either the ref stands you up or until the bell rings. So hopefully Poirier will actually put some of that in his game. And I think him and Conor is a great fight. Two guys are definitely fought cream of the crop guys. So it should be a good matchup. One other fight that I'm going to bring up that's not on my rundown tonight is Tyron Woodley versus Cody Covington. I'm glad they finally made that fight. That's a fight that should have been made, you know, a while ago, but Cody Covington said he was hurt. He had to get his sinus or nasal passage fixed, so he had surgery. So Dana White stripped him of his little BS interim title belt, which I thought should have never been a fight for the title belt. It should have been a number one contender's belt. But, you know, that's just Dana White's and the UFC's disrespect towards Tyron Woodley. I won't kick that dead horse again. But I'm looking forward to this fight, only because I don't like Colby Covington. I think Colby Covington is one of the guys that has got everything. He really hasn't beat a top-flight guys. He fought Damian Maia. Okay, Damian Maia is on the downside of his career, and he just beat RDA, you know, who was supposed to be the number one contender. So, to me, he really hasn't fought anybody. And you give him an interim belt or even an opportunity to fight for an interim belt, that makes no sense to me. But that's neither here nor there. That fight is scheduled, I want to say, for Anaheim, UFC 233. And, you know, I'll definitely be looking forward to that fight. Okay. If you're a regular listener to our show, you know, normally me and my man Keys, you know, we like to talk about, you know, mostly UFC stuff. Sometimes we'll get into music. Sometimes we'll talk about political stuff, you know, especially if it was a hot-button topic. But I'm going to introduce something new to our show tonight. I am an avid fantasy football player. Oh, God. I think I am in eight or nine leagues this year, you know, ranging from PPR to standard to defensive players, you know, and I love fantasy football. So this week, I'm going to give you guys my starts of the week at each position. In most leagues, you do one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a kicker, and a defense. If you have Aaron Rodgers is a must-start this week. I know he's not having one of his better years, but Aaron Rodgers plays extremely well in Lambeau Field. Plus, he's playing against Arizona. Plus, he has another thing working in his favor, as a lot of people have definitely been talking bad about him this week in the press, saying that he's having a substandard year and that he's the reason why Green Bay isn't doing that well on the road. See, this week he's going to try to prove a lot of his doubters wrong, and I look for a big game from Aaron Rodgers this week. My running back one this week will be Todd Gurley going against the Lions. As most people saw the Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Rams, Todd Gurley was basically a non-factor. He got dinged up, I want to say, early in the game. And, you know, I think the game plan just didn't lean towards the running game. I think the game plan was to, you know, throw the ball, air it out, and you know, that was the game plan. This week, the Rams would lean on Todd Gurley against the Lions' bad run defense, and it'll be a bounce-back game for Todd Gurley. My running back two this week, Philip Lindsay of the Denver Broncos. And not because I live in Denver, only because of the matchup. The Bengals are one of the worst defenses in the league. They give it up every week. So, look for Lindsay to have at least 20 to 25 carries, about to 7 catches out of the backfield, and maybe 1 to 2 touchdowns. My RB2 this week is Phillip Lindsay. Okay, my wide receiver one is a guy I spoke about earlier, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill has definitely been on the same sheet of music as Patrick Mahomes all year. And I think that combination keeps it clicking against the Raiders' terrible pass defense. The Raiders can't generate a pass rush. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And I think Kansas City will come in amped up, ready to go. And I think they're going to put it on the Raiders. I wouldn't be surprised if Mahomes and all the starters are sitting out the fourth quarter. So, Tyreek Hill is my wide receiver one. My wide receiver two, just because, you know, not because of matchup or anything like that, I'm going with Antonio Brown against the Chargers Sunday night primetime game. He's probably going to be matched up against one of the best cornerbacks in the league, Casey Hayward of the Chargers. But as with the Steelers, you know, they had a lot of drama this week. You know, being throwing an interception against the Broncos cost them a chance of, you know, winning the game. or tying the game. And then you had Ben calling out, you know, AB for the route he ran at the end of the game. You had AB calling out James Washington for not running through a pass that he threw to him. But on that play, Washington made a hell of a play to even try to make a play. You know, he dived for the ball, he cradled it, and once he hit the ground, the ball popped up. He just didn't survive the ground. But it was a hell of an effort from the young man. So I think this week, AB and Ben will hook up probably about 10, 11 times, probably about 150 yards, and maybe and a touchdown. My wide receiver three, I'm going with Junior L. The Minnesota Vikings defense is definitely coming to life. But you're playing Tom Brady and the Patriots and Foxborough in November and December. Tell me the Patriots start rolling, rounding in the shape right about this time of year. I think they'll have Xavier Rhodes on Josh Gordon. I think Trey Waynes will be on Hogan on the outside. And I don't know who is Minnesota's nickel cornerback. So that's why I'm predicting Julian Edelman to have a big game. I think with Minnesota's pass rush, that Tom Brady will definitely be going to the short passing game. So look for Julian Edelman to have about 8 catches, right about 90 yards, and maybe a short touchdown. Julian Edelman is my wide receiver three this week. Okay. My tight end, once again, is the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going with the best tight end in the game. I'm going with Travis Kelce. I think Kelce can do it all. You know, I don't think he's a good blocker, but they don't pay him to block. They pay him to catch balls and be an effective weapon in the offense. Look for Kelce, probably go over 100 yards, a touchdown, and look for him to be sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter, along with Mahomes, Tyreek Hill. And also, I think why you want to roll with Travis Kelce this week is Sammy Watkins is out. So the Raiders might try to roll coverage on over to Tyreek Hill's side. It's so fast, and he's definitely becoming a good route runner. So that may open up things in the middle of the field for Travis Kelce. So my TE1 this week is Travis Kelce. My kicker this week that if you had this guy, you should start. Let me take a sip real quick. I'm rolling with Sebastian Janikowski. You're probably shocked that Seabass is still in the league. I was too. I picked him up 1 week because my kicker was on a bye. And needless to say, he didn't disappoint. He did miss a 50-yard field goal. I think it was about a 56-yard field goal. But I think this week the Seahawks are playing San Francisco. Seattle is one of the worst red zone offenses in the league. So for that reason, I say start Sebastian Janikowski because he's playing at home. It's a late kick, you know, same kick times he had when he was in Oakland. So roll with Seabass as your kicker if you have him. If you don't have him, look and see whether or not he's on the waiver wire and pick him up. Defense I'm rolling with this week, I'm rolling with the Packers defense against the Cardinals offense. I know the Cardinals have Larry Fitzgerald, they have David Johnson. But they also have a rookie quarterback starting at Lambeau Field in December who has never really played in the cold. For that reason, I think Green Bay will pose problems to Josh Rosen. I think he will get sacked a lot. And I also think he'll throw up to maybe one or two interceptions. So go with the home team Packers against the Cardinals. you know, playing against Josh Rosen and the Cardinals and Lambeau and the Colts. So to recap, I had Rodgers as my QB1, Gurley as my RB1, Lindsey as my RB2, Tyreek Hill as my wide receiver 1, Antonio Brown as my wide receiver 2, Edelman as my wide receiver 3, I got Travis Kelce as my tight end 1, I got Sebastian Janikowski as my kicker, and I got the Packers defense as my special team chip. Just for, you know, S and G's, just want to throw a sleeper guy out there if you want to. Or not, he's on the waiver wire, but I'm quite sure since the news came out about Kareem Hunt that he's probably been picked up, and that's Spencer Ware. I think Spencer Ware will probably be a good flex position this week for you guys. You can place Spencer at the flex. I think he's going against a terrible Raiders defense. I think Andy Reid will try to get him worked into the offense, you know, because he knows that's going to be his guy going down the stretch. So look for Spencer Ware to get a lot of work this week. If you have if you can pick him up, pick him up. If you have him, you can flex him. A lot of people, this is your week for fantasy football. Some guys, you win and you win, you know, and you got to make crucial decisions. Hopefully I helped you out a little bit. You know, fantasy football is my thing. You know, I'm not Matthew Berry. You know, I'm not the guy on CBS Sports. But, you know, I watch a lot of football. I love fantasy football once again. You know, it's fun. You know, I'm in a lot of leagues. I play with a lot of my friends all around the world. You know, I play with a lot of old military buddies. I play with guys back at home in Virginia. I got friends out here in Denver. So, you know, fantasy football, that's my thing. I love it. But just to recap what I went over tonight on the show, you know, I talked about, you know, the Kareem Hunt suspension, you know, how the videotape came out Friday. And, you know, I wish the audio was available on the video, but it isn't. So you just have to, you know, leave it up to your imagination on what occurred. But Kareem Hunt was definitely in the wrong when he kicked the young lady when she was down. I think the Chiefs, you know, they cut him because, you know, they came out and said he lied to them. And I think Kareem Hunt just should have been straightforward with him. You know, once the videotape comes out, it's too late to try to, you know, tell the truth. You know, the video don't lie. Tonight, got another UFC fight night. You got Junior Dos Santos fighting Tuivasa. You have Shogun Hua fighting Tyler Pedro. And you have Mark Hunt fighting Willis in Mark Hunt's last fight. I predicted that I went with Tuivasa, I went with Pedro, and I'm going with Mark Hunt. I'm not confident in my Tuivasa pick. Only reason I'm picking him is because you know, I've been all about new blood this year, so I'm sticking with that. I'm hoping he can pull up the upset. Tonight you got a big boxing match. You have Tyson Fury fighting Deontay Wilder. A lot of people are amped up about that. There's been a lot of talk about that on Twitter, social media, all week long leading up to the I'm picking Fury to win, even though I like Deontay. But the reason I'm picking Fury to win is because I think Wilder still has some things in his game that he needs to improve on as far as throwing looping punches, wild punches. He can be wild at times. And I think Tyson Fury, only because of his experience. I talked about UFC being better than boxing only because UFC makes fights that people want to see. There's only one champ. you don't have 14 champs in one division, and the UFC have the best guys fighting the best guys and girls fighting the best guys and girls. It's not like boxing with guys pick and choose who they want to fight when they want to fight, you know. I mean, boxers, they have been boxing to relinquish belts so they didn't have to fight again. What is that about? Who gives up a championship belt because they don't want to fight again? You know, that's neither here nor there. That's my opinion. I know a lot of people probably pure boxing enthusiasts. I know they probably disagree with me. But, you know, that's why we all here. We all got different opinions, you know, and this is my opinion. If you disagree, call in and talk to me, and we can tell you that. I talked about the Conor Dustin Poirier fight, you know, that's been rumored about. I really like this fight. I think it's two guys that definitely fought the who's in their weight division, and I think it would be a good fight. My only concern would be whether Dustin would try to take Conor down and make Conor fight off his back, or would Dustin try to stand and bang with him, which would definitely be at Conor's wheelhouse because Conor is a hell of a striker. Then another rumor fight came out this week. Cowboy Cerrone moving back down to 155, and it's rumored that he'll take on Anthony Showtime Pettis in the second. This will be the second time they fought. Showtime Pettis won the first fight via knockout, I think the kick to the body, and you know, I think Cowboy is definitely one of those guys that'll fight anybody, and I love Cowboy Cerrone. I actually seen his last fight out here in Denver. You know, he had a hell of a performance. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that fight. Lastly, you know, I gave you some tidbits on fantasy football. So, you know, hopefully you heard my picks. I give it to you one more time. I got Rodgers as quarterback, Aaron Rodgers as quarterback. I have Gurley as my RB1. I have Philip Lindsay as my RB2. I have Tyreek Hill as my wide receiver 1. I have Antonio Brown as my wide receiver 2. I have Julian Edelman as my wide receiver 3. I got Travis Kelce as my as my tight end. I have Sebastian Janikowski as my kicker. And I have Green Bay as my defensive special teams. You know, it's been kind of fun tonight. You know, I did the show by myself tonight. You know, my man Key's out and about. You know, he in college, so sometimes, you know, he got to let his hair down, you know, get the stress of school off his back. To be a young guy and have fun, you know. I used to be his age one time, and, you know, I tried to have as much fun as I could. And, you know, I think when I was Key's age, I was in Germany. I was in the Air Force in Germany, and Germany was so fun. We had so much fun while we was over in Germany, and I understand. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I hope everybody have a good weekend. Happy holidays. Enjoy your family. If you're gonna indulge in alcohol or if you're going to smoke weed, do it responsibly. Don't get behind the wheel. Get an Uber, get a taxi, get home safely. You know, keep yourself out of trouble. I always like to end the show on a positive note. So I'm going to say, I'm going to give everybody that's saying that I have always believed in. You know, I used to tell my subordinates this, and actually I've been using it a lot here lately, you know, on social media, you know, you know, was on my desk. And it goes like this. Positive people, positive energy will always yield positive results. Once again, positive people with positive energy will yield positive results. That being said, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy college football tonight. Enjoy your boxing tonight. Enjoy the UFC tonight. We got NFL tomorrow. So everybody have a great weekend. Take care of each other, and God bless.